Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres wrap up their latest series against the Dodgers, and our host Jesse Agler isn't satisfied with just another beautiful day at the ballpark. He wants a win.
We want our cake and eating it too.
Everyone else in the ballpark is thrilled to be here, except for our other co-host Bill Center, who just caught a glimpse of his nemesis, producer Blooper.
That really gets you fired up.
Really, that guy bugs the heck out of me. I can see him right now.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Blooper's here.
Everybody's here.
Hey, the whole crew is here at the AMR studio at Petco Park. It's a Sunday edition of Padres Social Hour. It's a big one. Let's get a win today,
right,
Bill Center. Can we do that, please?
You don't want to be swept by the team that you know you got to beat
for
the division title.
That's well said. That's very well said. You don't want to be swept by the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a very good team, though.
Right.
I think that's pretty clear at this point in time. The Dodgers are a very good team. The Padres took one in Los Angeles, that opening series of the season. Now, hopefully, they take this one here today. And then you sort of move on to the Astros and the Rockies and the rest of this homestand. Look, still plenty of time for things to get very, very good for the Padres this year. And I understand people being a little bit down this morning. You drop the last two in Colorado. You get the winning road trip. You drop the first two here. I get all that.
Right.
I get all that. But it puts a little bit of a target on today,
right,
doesn't
and
it?
You don't want those losing streaks to stretch out to 5-6 games. I mean, good teams find a way. That's why some pitchers are called stoppers. Good teams find a way to stop those streaks.
I see what you did there. Brandon Morrow will be out on the hill today.
Right.
We feel like we get a little bit of a sense now of what Brandon Morrow is and what he can bring to the table.
Yes, Brandon. I like Brandon Morrow, and the fact that he's had injury problems the last couple of years, but they were not really arm related. They were hand related. He had a couple different problems. This was a proven major league pitcher before he started to really run into a couple minor problems. And Bud was talking about him before the game, that one of the reasons why he signed here was the opportunity to be a starter. Now he's in the rotation. So hopefully it happens today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've heard that a lot about Brandon Morrow, that he wanted to start. This was the place he felt like
right.
He had the best opportunity to earn that opportunity. He did so during spring training, and certainly so far so good a couple of times through the rotation here. All right, coming up, we'll talk about last night's game, an 11-8 defeat. Boy, 11-8. We didn't say that a lot last year, 11-8.
Right.
For two reasons we didn't say it a lot last year. The Padres didn't give up 11 runs all that often, and they certainly didn't score eight all that often. But an 11-8 loss to the Dodgers last night. We'll talk about this morning's roster move, some bullpen shuffling taking place for the Padres. We'll also get to your questions and your comments. It's all interactive. If you're on Twitter, just use the hashtag PadresSH to join our conversation. That's the hashtag PadresSH. We'll pull your questions and your comments throughout the show today. You can also go to Padres.com/socialhour, where you can watch the show or chat with other fans, or watch the show and chat with other fans, whatever it is you want to do. And the news in the chat so far at Padres.com/socialhour is about today's roster move. People are asking about that, so let's talk about it. Chris Rierick, the left-handed reliever, has been optioned to AAA El Paso, and Corey Mazzoni has been called up. So when Corey Mazzoni comes into a game, it will be his big league debut. He is a right-handed relief pitcher. He was acquired by the Padres from the Mets a couple of weeks ago in the Alex Torres trade. So a couple of things here. Right off the bat, as of today, this moment, this game, no lefties in the bullpen, right?
No lefties in the staff.
Yeah, that's right. There's not a left-handed pitcher in the building
right,
wearing a Padre uniform.
It's an all right-handed
Unless
staff.
Randy Jones is wearing a uniform today,
right.
There's no
left-hander in the house.
Or if Boomer Wells is back wearing a Padre uniform, there is no lefty
right.
in Padre uniform today. That's a little bit different. It's unheard of.
No, but it's unusual that you would have an entire right-handed pitching staff.
But that's the case. right now. So Corey Mazzone gets called up. Interesting guy. A starter forever.
Right.
In the Mets organization. Second round pick out of NC State a couple of years ago. And they looked like during spring training they were probably transitioning to him to a reliever, right?
Right. And the Padres love this stuff as a reliever. The Mets wanted a reliever right away. They wanted a left-handed reliever. They went for Torres. And the Padres took on Mazzone with the idea that right now he looks better in the bullpen. His stuff plays better in the bullpen than it did as a starter.
And so far that has absolutely been the case
right.
Down at AAA El Paso for Pat Murphy. He's been really, really good for them, very effective.
Six appearances, 8 1/3 innings, 13 strikeouts, 3 hits allowed, 1 run. He has been very effective. In fact, when they called a couple days ago to discuss the bullpen because they had to make a couple moves, they asked about who was looking good. And one of the first names that Murphy mentioned right off the top of his head, ahead of Quackenbush, who they brought up already, was Corey Mazzone really looks good.
This is another one of those examples, and I know maybe it's a bit on the extreme side, but another one of those examples of why, you know, that Sunday before the regular season starts and there's that 12 o'clock deadline to get the 25-man roster set,
right.
And we all sit around and we're frantically waiting for who made the team, who are the 25 guys. I mean, there have already been a slew of transactions, and we're not even out of the first month
right.
of the season.
No,
that was 20 days ago.
Right, and they liked Mazzone in spring. They only saw him a couple times before it was time to make decisions, and you know they were transitioning him to the bullpen, and he got to El Paso on the run. And has pitched very well there.
All right, so Corey Mazzone is up. He has yet to appear in a major league game. Triple A guy, both in the Mets organization with the Las Vegas 51s previously, and obviously this year with the Padres and the Chihuahuas in El Paso. So he's called up, and it'll be interesting. Do you get the sense that whenever a guy gets called up for the first time, they like to get him in as quickly as possible? Is that? I mean, obviously it depends on the game, but I feel like I've noticed that
right.
over the years.
And Bud really does. Bud wants to get his feet on the ground so he's not wondering for a week or yeah. 10 days that what's it going to be like. Bud That's likes to get him in a game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're out in the bullpen, right, and you're just right. sort of you're twiddling your thumbs, you're watching the game, you're wondering, you're kind of sitting on the edge of your seat, am I going to get in? Is the phone going to ring? Are they going to ask for me? Yeah, I would think in these situations it's great to get the guy in that first game if the game dictates
right. it. You know, it's very interesting to me that one of the things, Jesse, is Bud has always said he's not right-handed, left-handed, conscious as much as people think he is. He wants the best bullpen, the best starting rotation that he can have. And of course, it does do one thing if you're on the other side, is that you don't have to worry anymore if you're the Dodgers about a left-handed situational reliever because there's not one down there. So that does affect game strategy a bit. But Buddy would rather have guys that are pitching well than just to carry a left-hander.
Yes, that's exactly it. And you don't do it for the sake of doing it,
no.
having a lefty. You need the best, you know, 8 guys or whatever it shakes out to be at that given moment in the bullpen, in the rotation, on the bench. I think A.J. Preller made it pretty clear this offseason he wasn't worried as much about lefty-righty balance in his lineup or in his rotation as he was about having the best possible guys. The best players that he had available, he wants in the 25-man roster. He wants in the starting right. lineup. Lefty-righty, very secondary.
Now, this is a very interesting day today when you mention lefty-righty matchup. Padres are a heavy right-handed hitting team.
Yes.
And the Dodgers today made the decision to call up a right-hander, Scott Baker, rather than send a left-hander out against him. And the Dodgers are a very strong left-handed hitting team against an all-right-handed pitching staff.
So that's the way it shakes out today. Yes,
right.
Scott Baker will be making his Dodger debut, had his contract selected from the AAA Oklahoma City Dodgers.
I've always selected.
It's a very formal-sounding word.
I know,
right.
but why not just say they brought him up or
yeah,
they
no,
called
right.
him up or promoted him?
Because some guy in 1884 used the word, and baseball has never thought to change it ever since. That's how a lot of things happen in baseball. You may have, may not have noticed.
That's one thing that yeah. that word selected has always sort of bugged me. Lately.
It doesn't make sense. You're
no,
right.
It
it's silly.
Make sense.
It doesn't
they
fit.
They called him up.
Yeah.
They promoted him.
Yeah, that's a better word.
Right.
Selected his contract.
Nah, I don't like
probably some lawyer came up with it. It sounds very legal, right?
Right.
Well, have you ever read through the baseball rule book, for goodness sakes?
Yeah,
of course, we all have. It's hilarious how it's written.
Right.
And I understand that in a sense, it you know, it's a formal document. It's a legal document. The rules of the game, not, you know, real world legal. So you want it to be somewhat maybe formal, but it looks and feels and reads like it was written by a team of attorneys that have, like, you know, nothing but legalese on the mind.
Right, and trying to write in every trying to write every possible scenario, and then you wind up with all these ambiguities in the rule book.
Yeah, it's not impressive. Hey, umpires. We get to talk about umpires again today. Matt Kemp ejected after the end of the bottom of the seventh inning last night. We'll discuss that when we come back. Also talk about yesterday's 11-8 loss. It was one of those Johnny Carson games. Weird, wild, wacky, all kinds of interesting stuff taking place
here at Petco
Park.
The wind blowing out to right late in the game.
I mean, yeah, it was.
Rain.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about the rain when I said how weird of a game it was. Weird night at Petco Park last night. Hopefully today, just a Padre victory. So we'll take a break, do all that. As we said, remember, you can chime in on Twitter. Use the hashtag PadresSH, questions, comments, etc. And also you can go to Padres.com/social hour to chat there. They wanted to hear about Corey Mazzoni. Bill gave them the full Corey Mazzoni biography and scouting report, and now they are completely ready to see Corey Mazzoni in a game for the Big League Padres.
Fastball. Slider, change. Three good pitches.
The big three.
Low 90s in the fastball, good slider, good change.
Corey without an E, by the
right.
way, like Spangenberg.
Right.
So you have two Coreys, C-O-R-Y.
And then when Corey Lubicki comes back, you're going to have to go to the guide because you're going to be all confused.
Corey Brock has an E in his name.
E in his name, too.
Corey Mazzoni does not. M-A-Z-Z-O-N-I. Anybody with that's a good Scrabble name, Mazzoni. You get two Z's, like pizza. Love pizza. Hey, get your tickets to catch the Padres take on the Astros tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. Tickets are available at Padres.com or, of course, at the Petco Park box office. That guy, James Shields, will be out on the mound tomorrow. That's his spot in the rotation. Three-game set against the Astros. The Wednesday game, way back Wednesday. You get to see those late 80s brown and orange uniforms. Kids Fest getting going here at Petco Park on this beautiful Sunday in San Diego. No chance of rain today. Thank goodness for that. We'll take a break. Come back. More Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. With Bill Center, I'm Jesse Agler. Bloopers here. Becky's here. Larry's here. Having a great time on a Sunday at Petco Park. Beautiful afternoon for baseball. Brandon Morrow and Scott Baker, who has been selected by the Dodgers from AAA Oklahoma City. Hey, a couple of news and notes from around baseball. The Josh Hamilton trade from the Angels to the Rangers is expected to be finalized today. Very interesting situation, obviously.
If you're the Rangers, I mean, talk about being in a buyer's market because the – ooh, the Angels just early on said we want to rid ourselves of this guy. It's going to be very interesting to see what, if anything, they get in return for that.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're going to be paying a good amount of money
right.
In that deal as well. So Josh Hamilton will be going back to Texas. There's some familiarity there
and I think,
and hopefully some comfort.
Right, and I think that that's maybe the best place possible for he seemed to flourish there. You know, I really feel – there's all these things about people wanting them suspended forever. I think Josh Hamilton falls into a different category. Mm-hmm. It's not a steroid thing. He has a problem. I mean, he has a medical, physical problem. And I really believe that he falls into a different category. And this is not somebody that we should try to punish for trying to improve his game. This thing is totally different.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And look, priority one for him and for Major League Baseball should be getting him healthy.
Healthy, and, absolutely.
And then everything else comes after
right.
that. Now, if they want to mandate some sort of healthiness, I'm fine with that. But
right.
I agree. We shouldn't be going after him as if, you know, he was pumping himself full of HGH in
right.
order to try and hit the ball farther. So hopefully he gets things under control. And if it is Texas that helps lead to that, then that's great for him. But obviously there is a larger priority here than baseball.
Right. I mean, if Major League Baseball were to say, hey, Josh, before you can play again, we want to see the fact that you're clean for two or three, you know, that you don't have problems, that we get a medical report that says you're fine. I'm fine with that, but I'm not all these people that say they should suspend him for life. No, this is a different, to me, this is a completely different category.
Yeah, the punitive ass angle is nonsense
no.
as far as I'm concerned. You don't need to be going after him for the sake of going after him and trying to make an example of somebody.
We agree on something.
Look at that.
How about that?
And we got to use the word punitive.
I know, you did.
I did, yeah. Adam Wainwright another big note from around baseball. Sounds like he could very well be done for the season. Hurt his Achilles tendon last night in Milwaukee. I mean, I hate the designated hitter. And I'm not saying it's an argument for the designated hitter, but somebody is going to make that argument. There's going to be somebody somewhere that says, see, we need the DH because Wainwright blew out his Achilles on a pop-up to the first baseman. I don't know if you've seen the play. It was, I mean, the most routine early inning, you know, pitcher at bat right. ever. Pop-up to first. He took a half a step out of the box, and the sniper got him. And the Achilles. And, yeah, Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports, saying probably done for the year.
Well, if it's an Achilles tear, he's done for the year. I mean, and that's going to be a tough one to – come back from for a pitcher. You know, that a couple years ago, Major League Baseball did have discussions about the DH coming to the National League, and a lot of general managers and a lot of managers are in favor of it. But it's sort of split down the middle, and they didn't quite have the support to put it to a vote. But I can see that coming, especially with the more interleague games that we have. I think that does put the National League at a disadvantage in those interleague games.
Oh, no question.
So yeah, I think eventually I see both leagues having the DH.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we got some good questions coming in on Twitter. We'll get to those in just a couple of moments. Let's talk last night. Got to start with Ian Kennedy, right? I mean, that's the centerpiece of the conversation from
right.
last night's game. First, the numbers. 4 1/3, 8 runs, 8 hits, a walk, 2 strikeouts. 3 home runs. He threw 94 pitches. The first inning was rough. The second inning was rough. I think it would have been really easy to pull him out after a couple of innings. I think it was about 50 pitches, obviously giving up the home runs. But it seemed to me that Buddy Black there in Ballsley wanted to see if they could get him going, see if he could work himself out of it. Look, the guy hasn't had, like, a full start in the big leagues yet this year.
Right.
You got to remember, he got hurt in his first start, and he did kind of work himself out of it
right.
for the third inning and the fourth inning, and then in the fifth, he ran into some more trouble, and that was it.
Right. But even before the start of the spring, of the season, his last start in spring training was the exhibition against Mexico City, where he made a short appearance. So he really hasn't pitched at length since a week before the start of the season. So, yeah, Bud was talking about that before the game. Came out of it fine physically. Bud said he just wasn't hitting his spots. And first game back, I'm not totally surprised by that, but that's his third worst start ever.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a rough night. It was a legitimately
really bad night.
Rough night for Ian Kennedy. And Buddy said, you know, the location was off. At times he was his own worst enemy.
Right.
You know, the hit-by-pitch on 0-2 is an easy
count.
One.
Then he walks easier in front of Gonzalez.
Which you don't want to be doing right now.
And we saw what Gonzalez did.
Kennedy, by the way, I thought this was kind of interesting afterwards. He was talking about going back and watching the video, and he said his upper half, you know, it was a physical thing. He could see he was doing something he didn't want to be doing mechanically, and that led to maybe some of the balls being more up. Than he would have liked. I'm always fascinated that a guy can go back, you know, the night that it happened, you know, pull out the video and say, okay, I kind of see what it was, and now he knows that's something to work on in these bullpen sessions the next few days.
Right, but a pitcher feels his arm slot like you sign your name, that you do it the same way every time. Guys know how they throw and where it comes from, and the second it's not coming from that spot, they feel it.
Absolutely. It's amazing.
Right.
It's just incredible.
It's just like, I mean, have you ever written your signature and it's been off and it's not quite been the same as before?
Yeah, sure.
And you immediately feel like, oh, what did I do wrong there?
Yeah.
And you go back to writing.
So, like, when you're walking around the ballpark and people are asking you for your autograph, Bill, you know, you sometimes you sign the ball for the little kid who's
yeah,
wearing
right.
his center jersey.
Exactly.
And you say, oh, man, that one wasn't good. So do you redo it for the kid, or is he stuck with a dud?
He's stuck with a dud like that's ever happened. And actually, somebody did ask me for my autograph about 2 weeks ago.
You're a big deal here. Hey, Blooper, somebody want to take a picture with Blooper before today's show.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, the kid, he's up here. He's hanging out. He's watching, as people do, which we love. And he said to me, he goes, hey, is that Blooper? I was like, yeah. He goes, do you think he'd take a picture with me?
Sweet.
How nice is that? Blooper's got a fan.
One.
And the guy wasn't even being sarcastic or ironic or anything.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, he actually wanted a picture with Blooper.
We start a Blooper fan club?
I think we should. We can do a t-shirt night one night for all the Blooper fans.
Yes.
What would that t-shirt look like?
be a members only.
He's got his jacket
I
tonight.
I know, he's got his jacket tonight.
All right, take a break, come back. As I said, lots of Twitter stuff coming in. We'll get to those questions coming up, plus plenty more as we get you ready for the third and final game of this series against the Dodgers. Brandon Morrow will be out on the hill. Hey, you want to get out to Petco Park every day, of course, but especially Tuesdays, because it's Taco Tuesday presented by Cholula Hot Sauce. $1 tacos every Tuesday. Home game, the next Taco Tuesday will be this Tuesday, April 28th, when the Padres take on the Houston Astros. Visit Padres.com for tickets. Padres.com for tickets. Taco Tuesday coming up. $1 tacos presented by Cholula. We'll take a break. Come back. More from the AMR studios. Your questions after this on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Another big crowd expected at Petco Park this afternoon. Final game of the series against the Dodgers. Padres trying to pick one up. If you got the kiddies, oh boy, Sundays are fun here at Petco Park. Kids Fest out at the park to the park. I see inflatable slides. I believe I see a bounce house, maybe two. I know there's face painting out there. There's the giant inflatable Mark Grant Fryer that has the balloons on the left. I mean, it's a good time out there. If you're a little kid, you get to run around, do all the activities.
I love what the Padres do with kids, and that is something that hasn't been that long since they really turned the park into park into the kids' playground. And so I really love it.
What do we have to do to get you in a bounce house?
In a bounce house?
Yeah.
Not me, but my granddaughter, Phoebe, has her own little trampoline.
Oh.
She goes crazy. I love it. She'll just jump for hours. And,
right. But if I could, what would I have to do to get you in the bounce house out at the park at the park?
Me in a bounce house, one bounce would deflate that.
Oh,
sucker.
Come on. You're looking good. Don't say that. All right. We've got a bunch of good Twitter stuff coming in. We said, hey, earlier somebody wanted to take a picture with Blooper. That was wild. Angela on Twitter says, I want my picture with Seth Foster, too. Wow. That's two. Blooper. She's right there, too. That's something we can make happen. Larry maybe can take the photograph during the commercial break.
Sweet.
Your famous Blooper. How about that? Darklighter checks in on the same topic. He says, hey, Jesse, you missed the moment earlier when Seth slipped the guy $5. Oh, that explains it.
Hey, there we go.
Makes all the sense. She says 10.
Right.
Wow.
Is that right?
His price has gone up over the course of the afternoon. But, all right, hey, Blooper, whatever you got to do, I appreciate that.
First time he's broken out that wallet, though.
All right. B. Klein, 760. We were talking about Adam Wainwright getting hurt last night and maybe being lost for the season, swinging the bat. He says, pitchers don't hit most of their time through the minors, so why at the MLB level? Hashtag DH in NL. I understand your point, B. Klein, 760. I would say, then make them hit in the minors.
Right.
No DH in AL, hashtag. How about
well,
that?
Well, and there are – pitchers do hit in the minors depending on the game. They don't always hit in the minors, but you have an awful lot of National League versus National League games and leagues that have the pitchers hit. So the DH is not throughout the minors. There are pitchers that hit.
There is plenty of
There is hitting in the minors.
But not always, and there are a lot of times that, you know, we see a guy coming up here and he goes, hey, that was my first at-bat since high school.
Right.
So B. Klein is looking at it one way. I would like to look at it the other way. Again, knowing that it's probably inevitable that the DH comes to the National League sometime in the next few years, but I would say, how about instead of bringing the DH to the National League, we bring hitting to the minors and to the American League.
And I do like – I mean, if there wasn't a difference of opinion about, hey, DH in one league and not the other, if there was no DH, I'd really be happy with that.
I would be pleased
I would
as
be,
punch.
Right. I'd be very –
Hey, where does that come from, pleased as punch?
I have no idea.
No, I know. Every day now there's a stupid
But I'd
thing.
Be happy if there was no DH. But if we have it, if we have that abomination now, I think it should be in both leagues.
Now, I understand what you're saying, but I hate it passionately.
Right. No, I do too.
By the way, at a time when Major League Baseball is so concerned about pace of play, time of game, all that kind of thing, you're gonna add another hitter? Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And by the way, and when you add that DH, you take a lot of strategy out of the game, which right now we have in the National League.
Yes.
I mean, you put that DH in, and it becomes a one-after-the-other hitter-type game.
I'm sure somebody out there is saying, hey, Jesse, I understand. I might even agree, but the Players Association will never allow you to get rid of the DH. Here's my trade proposal to Tony Clark and the Players Union. You get rid of the DH in the American League, I'll give you two more Major League roster spots.
I like that. Although I like the 25-man roster where it is. I think it's
now for people
number.
Like you,
right.
I'll say, okay, Bill, we're going to have a 27-man roster, but only 25 can be active on game day.
That's okay. I like that.
See, I've just fixed all the world's problems.
Right, but I don't like the idea of having more than 25 active players.
I agree with that, because then you get into the September nonsense.
Oh.
And Tony La Russa comes out of the front office and down to the dugout just so we can make pitching changes
right.
Three more times
so you,
over the course
right.
of the game.
Like a couple of years ago when the Rockies added the four left-handed relief pitchers mm-hmm. to the 40-man, and then every other hitter
yeah.
they were bringing
yeah.
in, a guy from the bullpen.
Yeah, none of that.
Talk about dragging out games.
Seriously. All right, let's continue with Twitter here. On last night, Cody wants to know if we think Buddy left Ian in too long. Cody says he loves the show, which we appreciate. This is a question I've heard from a lot
right.
of people. It's a very fair question. What
right.
do you think?
That after the second home run, after the second inning, one, two things. One, I think you had to leave Ian in to sort of let him work through it. And two, you didn't have Despaña available, so you would have had to create somebody else to be the long man in the bullpen. No, I think you had to leave Ian in.
Yeah.
I think he had to go four and a third. I mean, they wanted him to go five.
For me, more than anything else, it was the pitch count. They got him up to 94 pitches,
right.
which is, I think, right, the most he's thrown at any point
right.
in this calendar year. He's got to get stretched out. He's a starting pitcher, and your offense was kind of keeping you around. Obviously, if he gets through the fifth inning or he only allows one run there, you know, things could be very different. But, you know, I think a lot of people were calling for him to come out after the second. And like you said, I think then a lot of dominoes start falling and there's some trouble.
Right. If he had come out after the second, you would have had to make more than one pitching move today because your bullpen would have been totally spent.
Yeah, and that would have been a whole deal.
Right.
That would have been a whole deal. All right. It's a good question, though. It's a fair question.
That's a good question.
Yeah, and Cody, nice job. He's hanging out up here. You remember Cody's first question ever on the show? He was asking how many saves we thought Craig Kimbrell was going to have this year.
That was his.
So I asked him, I said, well, how many do you think? And he said, I don't know, 20? And I was like, oh, goodness.
Better have more than that.
Yeah. Oh, Cody. He's never going to live that one down.
No.
He's a nice guy, though. He comes, he hangs out,
does.
Watches the show.
He's been there
but that was
a couple times.
That was a bad question.
Yeah.
No, it was a fine question. Bad answer. We're killing the kid. Poor Cody. How old are you? 16. He's a 16-year-old kid, and I'm picking. That's not nice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He can handle himself, though.
I had a lot dumber questions than that when I was 16.
Yeah, no, very good point. Very good point. That's actually, for a 16-year-old, that's a brilliant way of
right.
looking at the world. That's a very good one. All right, Glenn has another Ian Kennedy question. He's doing the old hindsight is 2020. Totally fair. Do you think Ian Kennedy should have had a rehab start? Knowing the success Despaña had filling in the rotation, would you have liked to see Ian Kennedy do more than sort of the extended spring training?
I got to tell you that this is one that I sort of disagree with Buddy and Darren on. I think I would have sent him to Lake Elsinore for last night and have Despaña make the start, just to give him a game where he had 90 pitches and there wasn't a lot of pressure on him. Yeah, I actually do believe that I would have sent him out for a rehab start.
Yeah. If he has a good start last night, nobody's even talking
right.
about that. But that's
right.
how the life of a manager
right.
is in a
no,
general manager.
And you got to make those decisions. And you wanted him back in the rotation as soon as possible. But I had thought about that for a week, that maybe he would be better served by going out and having a rehab start. And having Despaña, who was on a roll, make that start.
I remember before OD's last start, we said, hey, if this goes really well, does that impact, you
right.
know, maybe the decision-making with Ian? Do you feel a little bit more comfortable rolling
and
Despaña?
And I said at that
again?
Time.
Yes, you did.
I'd like to see Ian have a rehab start
yes.
before he came back.
You absolutely did. But, hey, it's past now. They got him stretched out a little bit last night.
Right.
He got into the 90s with the pitch count. He saw his mechanical adjustment that he wants to make. And now no more rearview mirror. I think with Ian Kennedy, it's sort of full speed ahead. He's good physically, and you hope 5 days from now, or six, I guess, because of the off day, that he's back out there and everything's good to
well,
go.
He's too good a pitcher to stay in
right.
a bad rut.
No, you're not worried about the
no,
long term.
No, I'm not worried about him two or three starts down the road.
No question. All right, let's get in one more. It comes from Kevin Harris. Kevin, I have referred to on the air before as a one-trick pony. All he does is tweet about Bud Selig Plaza. That you could be like, hey, it's a beautiful day at Petco Park, and he would reply with something about Bud Selig Plaza. But he kind of calls himself out a little bit. He goes, okay, somewhat actual serious question today. So I like this, Kevin. You're kind of coming out of your shell a little bit. And he wants to know how many losses in a row before panic time, keeping in mind they have now lost four straight, two to the Rockies at the end of that road trip and the first two of this series to the Dodgers.
Panic time, let me see. I think if it gets to 6 or 7, then you're really concerned. Every team during the course of a year is going to lose 4 or 5 in a row, even the best teams. What you want to do is you've got to have that guy, and certainly I'm not saying that the Padres won't win today, but say it became 5, you've got the type of guy coming up in Shields that is that stopper, that is there, that number one starter, that ace to stop these things.
That'll be tomorrow night against the Astros.
Right.
Hey, obviously you hope for the best today, but you make a very good point.
Right.
All you have to do is look ahead 36 hours or so, and you feel pretty good about the situation tomorrow. All right.
And with the way their pitching is right now, I don't see it extending through Shields, Ross, and Cashner.
Okay, good. I feel good. You've made me feel better, Kevin. I hope that makes you feel better as well. More Twitter questions and comments throughout the afternoon. Hashtag PadresSH if you want to do it. Hashtag PadresSH. Got some stuff getting going in the chat as well. Maybe hit some of that. When we return, want to remind you first, though, that as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. More from the AMR studios at Petco Park right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Had some good Twitter questions and comments last segment. Have some stuff in the chat at padres.com/social hour that I want to get to. But we take in-person questions and comments as well. Ben is in sixth grade, and he says, hey, Dum-Dum, me, talk about the All-Star game coming to San Diego. He is very excited about the All-Star. He didn't say Dum-Dum. I don't want to get him in trouble with his dad. He was like, hey, let's talk about the All-Star game coming to San Diego next year. He's very excited. He's in sixth grade. I said, hey, Ben, are you more excited about the Home Run Derby or the All-Star game itself? Very mature answer. He said about the game itself because of all the good players that will be here at Petco Park.
Sweet. You know what? It's the game. I'm not a big Home Run Derby fan.
Shocker.
I love the All-Star game. I love the All-Star game. I still remember the All-Star games of my youth when you would have Mays and Kaline and Robinson.
You saw Walter Johnson, I think, in an All-Star game.
Yeah,
an
All-Star game, right, the first one. But
they used to have two, you know.
Right, I know.
That's a weird All-Star thing.
And that was right when I was 12, 13 years old, they had two.
Yeah.
And it was not and the All-Star game lost an awful lot.
Of course.
They're
doing
it
twice.
Right. It was terrible. But I love the fact that a young man can say, I want the game and not the Home Run Derby, because it's the game. I'm not a big Home Run Derby fan.
I like the Home Run Derby. I enjoy it. I can't watch the whole thing, but I like the spectacle of it. I think it's fun, particularly in a ballpark like this. You want to see a guy try and hit one over the Western Metal Building. You know, will somebody clear the batter's eye? Like, that kind of fun stuff can happen. But no, the game is so special, and I love it. Ben, you can use your hands to show me how many All-Stars will the Padres have this year in Cincinnati? How many of the current Padres will be All-Stars this season? What do you think? Seven, he says. I like that.
Optimism.
That sounds,
I love it.
That sounds outstanding to me. All right, comment here from the live chat at padres.com/social hour from Alex Pena. He says, the only positive from last night is the Padres didn't lay down. I was going to turn off the TV after 10-3, but I'm glad they kept fighting, but the pitching has to improve. That's a good point from last night.
Right.
Even 3-0 in the first inning, you didn't feel so good, right?
Right. And then they came back in the first, tied it up, and then they get down 4 runs, and they did battle back to 10-7. It was, yes, this is not a team that gives up, and this team has the offense to come back from one of those situations.
Justin Upton is a special talent.
Yes.
I can say that. I know that's not news around baseball, but seeing it in person these first 3 weeks, man.
But I don't think he's alone on this team.
No, of course not.
Kemp's a special talent. I think Derek 100%. Morris at catcher is a special talent.
I agree with that. I'm just sort of singling out Justin Upton because how many runs did he drive in last night?
Well, he's lightning in a bottle.
He's unbelievable. The second home run, the 0-2 that went to the beach.
Right.
I mean, you talk about wind all you want. He absolutely smoked
crushed
that ball.
Him. Right.
That kind of that time of night, Petco Park, right center from a right-handed batter. Oh my gosh, he is really, really fun to watch.
Right, he is.
So you know, that was encouraging. The fact that they sort of had the ability to come from behind. But his last point, Alex's last point, is the pitching's got to be better. You know, I mean, and it's the starters, obviously, at times. It's the relievers at times. If you would have told me going into last night's game, hey, we're going to get eight tonight, I'd be like, sign me up. Right. And I wouldn't have thought you'd lost.
Right behind closed doors, I'm sure right now the Padres are saying, hey, we're a little bit concerned with what our pitching is doing right now, particularly what they expected coming out of spring training, what they expected coming out of last year.
Yeah, no question about it.
Because it's just not Kennedy. There are other guys that haven't been as sharp as they thought they were going to
be. No question. Absolutely no question about it. All right, got some more Twitters coming in. We were talking about the DH earlier, which I was ready to move on from, but Jody had this excellent tweet that I just I couldn't let, you know, not go up. Jody from Gaslamp Ball, I'm liking everything Jesse's laying down right now. Here's a good hashtag, Agler for Commissioner. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, all right,
yeah. Sorry, Rob. I got this.
You're going to take over.
I would love to be the commissioner someday.
I think you'd be fine in the job.
Well, thank you. That's quite an endorsement. I think you'd be fine.
No.
You can run my campaign.
There are a lot of people I don't want to see be commissioner who would love to have the job.
Me too.
Right. And I think that that'd be a good fit.
Yes. Oh, I appreciate that. How old do you have to be? Is there like the president has to be at least 35 years old? Is there a similar thing for the Major League Commissioner?
Generally, I think that the age minimum is right after you have a
really
good
card.
Right, you have a really good thought. Once you can no longer have really forward thinking,
then you're allowed to become the commissioner. All right, so I got another 30 years to wait.
Right,
that's unfortunate. All right, well, thank you, Jody, for that starting the campaign off. And hey, Manfred, he's kind of a young guy. He'll be around for a while.
And I actually like some of the things that. Like when he said during spring training what he'd like the strike zone to be, and it's almost like the umpires say, well, that's our domain and we're not going to call those strikes. And it's like, to me, it's like the umpires are striking against Manfred and what he said.
Well, last night, Marty Foster, the pitch to Kemp, probably a strike. Let me start by saying that.
Right.
I'll say I think it was probably a strike, but it was inconsistent, the zone. Over the course of the night, I thought he was super confrontational with Solarte.
Right.
Solarte thought he had ball four, so it happens. You know, you get most of the way down to first base, and he calls you back. But then the home plate umpire, he gets in the batter's box and sort of like points down and waves Solarte back. And then, you know, with Kemp, you know, he kind of let Matt get his words in. And then it got a little confrontational, which I thought was frustrating. At that point, you know, as you're the umpire, walk away. Don't continue the conversation. He's kind of telling Matt, get out of here, and then it goes down. But, like, if you're Marty Foster, just walk towards third base.
Right.
Walk. You don't have to stand there and engage him.
I have seen poorer decisions by umpires this early season than I can remember in years. And I don't know what's going on, but the umpiring right now is as inconsistent and the attitudes are as poor from these guys as I've seen in years.
Really
and
weird.
And I really cannot figure out why all of a sudden they've become why they've taken this stance.
It's been weird this year.
It's bad.
I don't like
it
talking
really
about umpires.
Bad.
And his buddy said last night, and I agree, it is such a hard job. And these guys are literally right. The best in the world at doing it. But it's been a rough first few weeks for Padre games and umpires.
The,
it has.
The umpiring right now is as bad as I've seen in years.
Yeah.
I mean, you may as well bring Eric Gregg back to call the balls.
Well, he's passed away.
I know, but I'm just saying that type of strike zone.
You're referring to, of course, the NLCS Braves Marlins in 97, Levon Hernandez. There was some consistency there, at least.
Right. It was like 9 feet wide.
Yeah. Maddox and Glavin don't want to hear this, but that's how it looked all the time for
right.
those guys.
Right.
That's how it looked all the time for those guys. All right, hey, if you're looking for paradise, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. This is the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, one at the Park at the Park, another at the Mercado behind home plate. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Maui Waui Kids Fest. Good time out at the Park at the Park. We'll take a break, come back. Even more Twitter action for Bill Center right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studio with Bill Center, I'm Jesse Agler. Beautiful Sunday at Petco Park. Going to be jammed again. Great crowds. What, 43,000 on Friday, 44,000 last night. I think it'll be up around 40 again here this afternoon.
You know what I love is I love when I sit down in the press box and I look out before the game and I can see people sitting in places in the stands, you know, as they come in and all of a sudden they're in the upper, they're sitting in seats in the upper right-hand corner or down the left field line. I love seeing that because you know it's going to be a big crowd.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been so fun here. The first homestand, those Giant games in particular were off the charts. The first couple of nights here, aside from the results, been a great atmosphere. A lot of Padre fans, not as many. I was talking to a Dodger person today. Doesn't matter who. I was talking to a Dodger person today. Very impressed with the lack of Dodger fans comparatively these last couple of nights as opposed to what we've seen in the last few years.
In the last couple of years. And, you know, and I know that right now that those the security lines are still long. I would invite fans to get here early and not just enjoy the game, but take a walk. If you get in, take a walk around Petco Park. See things that you haven't.
Come to the AMR studio.
Right. Or just, it's a great place to have dinner before a game. There are a lot of great places to eat here now. And I would really encourage fans that, I know there have been complaints about the long security lines. Make it a point, if you're coming, get here a little bit early. Walk out to the park at the park. There are displays out and underneath the stands and right field.
We're going to put you on the marketing team, Bill.
There are. I promise you, there are things as a fan that if you come in and go directly to your seat, you've never seen here.
Yeah, I know.
Which are worth seeing.
Oh, it's a great place. Right. It's a great. I think people know that. By the way, earlier in the show, we said pleased as punch. Where does that come from? Unofficial show statistician Dave Perrick checks in. He says it's from the Punch and Judy puppet shows. More recently, the phrase was popularized by Charles Dickens. He used it, and that's how it sort of entered the nomenclature. So there you go. Pleased as punch.
I thought it was a Hawaiian thing.
The Hawaiian punch?
Yeah.
You ever mix it with ginger ale? Delicious.
No.
That's a good mix. Oh, yeah?
I used to take it straight.
You take it straight? You don't cut it?
No more. No more. I'm off of.
No, you're off Hawaiian punch? Okay. Right. Hey, let's put Bill Center on the Cholula hot seat right here because we've got a Twitter question that is red hot. This isn't your mild. This is your red hot Cholula question. And it comes from Jim on Twitter. And Jim says, how about pitching around Adrian Gonzalez? What say you, Bill Center, on the Cholula hot seat?
There would be times where I might do it. Like last night in the second inning, I might have been tempted, except he would have loaded the bases for Howie Kendrick. But you cannot go through a season and not just keep walking a person. And I've seen those tweets out there, we should walk them all the time. The answer, I mean, you're going to have to get a guy out. You're going to have to find a way to pitch to him. He's red hot right now, and he's red hot against the Padres, and his confidence level is immensely huge against this team. You got to find a way to knock that confidence level down.
He enjoys hitting here. There's no question.
He does, and he sees the ball well here. I will say that. Even when he was a Padre, he said that he saw the ball well here.
So what do you do to make him uncomfortable? I know you're not a pitcher. Randy Jones, David Wells, maybe if they were sitting here, say, hey, get his feet moving a little bit.
What I would say. Get his feet moving. I'm not saying throw it, knock him down or anything, but maybe bounce a couple balls and make him move around a little bit. Don't let him be comfortable. And I think that's what you've got to do.
Okay, there you go. That's Bill Center on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. A lot of people have been talking around, you know, pitching around Adrian, walking Adrian. I think you've got to remember that, you know, people might not want to hear this. This Dodger lineup top to bottom might be the best in the National
League.
There
are other guys that can swing the bat.
A lot of
them. You put them on base, and there are guys that can drive him in.
Yes. There's some talent.
Yes.
All right. We got to take a break.
I love it when you say poblano.
Poblano. It's a fun word to say.
It is.
Jalapeno, poblano. A lot of good peppers.
See.
Pepper words. All right. Take a break. Come back. Give you today's starting lineup. A little bit different on a Sunday. Jed Jerko is back. Derek Norris is starting another game here.
That is interesting.
I agree. We'll talk about that and give you the full lineup for the Padres this afternoon when we return. For all Padre home games, San Diego County first responders receive special pricing on tickets through verification by GovX. 25% off all tickets all season long. More information and the tickets are at Padres.com/first responder. Padres.com/first responder. Take a break. Come back. Today's starting lineup for the series finale against the Dodgers. This is Padres Social Hour live from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
from start to finish. It's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Hey, Bill, they're telling me we're running out of time, so we'll just kind of fly through the Padres starting lineup for today's game. Myers, Solarte, Kemp, Upton, Alonzo, Norris, Jerko, Amarista, Moro. Jerko starts at second. Norris starting again. Solarte will be at third base.
I like the fact that Norris is out there on the Sunday.
I like it, too. Let's go get a win against the Dodgers. Hey, Annie will be hosting tomorrow with Bill. I'll be on TV with Mudd. Enjoy the game, everybody.